First John's over toward the end of the New Testament. You can turn to the book of Revelation and then back up, and you'll find First John. All right. Find verse 13 of the third chapter. And when you found that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's stand together as I read to you and you follow along in your version of the scripture. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to, now I want you to really pay close attention here, and as I pay close attention, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, and we commit this time into your hands. Lord, I pray that you would just open us up this morning. Lay us bare. Allow your word to do a work in our hearts, kind of a surgery, something that would cut away the bad and would leave the good. Lord, we pray that our spiritual eyes would be open, that our focus would be on you, that Satan would be bound in such a way that we could focus today on what you're saying to us, not on ourselves, not on the job next week, but Lord, help us to just focus on you right now and what you have in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the proof is in the pudding. And if you're a hillbilly, the proof is in the pudding. So it's where the rubber meets the road. It's what the real thing is. It is whether or not God is doing that work in us. And here John talks about the proof. You remember the last time I preached? It's been a couple of weeks. But John said, the greatest miracle was that we could become the children of God, that the Lord could save our souls and change us. He'd seen Lazarus raised from the dead. He'd seen blind eyes see. He'd seen folks that were sick healed. He'd seen the water turn to wine. He'd seen all these things. But yet he said the greatest miracle, the greatest thing, was to see someone's life was changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now he's talking about the proof here of that change. And he says the real proof, if you really want to know the proof, it's what is in the heart toward the brethren. How God changes our heart to love even the unlovely. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But how we love one another. How, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we love one another. So love is the evidence of the new birth. And he says here, don't marvel. We shouldn't be surprised when the world hates us. That ought to just be a given. I mean, we are surprised, aren't we? I mean, we can get up in arms because this is taken away or that is taken away. And here John said, don't be surprised when the world hates you. When the world will not go along with you wanting to go to church. When the world will not go along with you wanting to read your Bible. Don't be surprised about that. Don't be surprised that the government would try to make a law against this or about that. He says, don't be surprised about that. What you should be surprised about, and what I should be surprised about, is that whenever a brother or sister claim to know Christ as their personal Savior and do not have love in their heart for their other brothers and sisters. We know, he said. We know. So there's evidence of our new birth is our love for our fellow Christians. So we are to be about the pursuit of that fellowship. We should be about the pursuit of that fellowship. Even when our brothers and sisters batter us around, we still have a desire to be with them. I don't know how else to say it. We still should have a desire to be with them. When we were living in the parsonage a few years ago, my daughter took in a puppy. And that puppy grew up to be a big old black dog. Do y'all remember that big black dog? Stayed out there in the field with the horse most of the time. They made friends. I had a new pair of tennis shoes that I'd got in the clay mud with. I went through the garage and took those off and went through the back door. When I came back to retrieve those shoes, one of them was demolished. I mean, that dog had eaten that shoe all to pieces. And I took what remained of that shoe and gave that dog a whipping with the shoe. Now I know we've got be kind to animals but I was, through my frustration, I was taking it out on that dog, and I mean, I worked him over with that tennis shoe, told him not to do that again. And I was telling Becca that I gave her dog a whipping with the tennis shoe. And she said, what did the dog do? And I said, well, when I got through whipping him, he jumped around and around, went to wagging his tail, and he thought, man, this is kind of rough, but I like attention. I just like to be loved on. And this is kind of rough loving, but I'm liking it. Sometimes we have to do that. With our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look with me over at Luke's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6. Look at verse 27. Here it is. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what think have you? What do you think you're doing? I mean, you hadn't done anything is what he's saying. For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what think have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. That's quite a chore. Who said that? The Lord. Jesus said that. This is how we are to do it. That we are to giving, we are to give out love without expecting that in return. We're to give out friendship without expecting that in return. John says to hate our brother is to murder him in our heart. So hatred can be carried out passively or actively, can it? John tells us the one who hates is a murderer. So we can, in a passive way, we could wish they were dead. And to treat them as though they were dead and cut them out of our fellowship. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? That we could say in our heart, well, I won't have anything else to do with him. I won't have anything else to do with her. They offended me. They hit me over the head with the tennis shoe and I hadn't even chewed it up. They worked me over with their tongue, and I'd not done anything to deserve it. But yet the scripture says here that for us to say I'm not going to have anything else to do with them is to cut them out as though we had murdered them in our hearts. When we hate, we have the heart of a murderer. Look at Matthew 5. And look down at verse 21. So, if you have a red letter edition scripture, this is in red letters. What does that mean? Jesus is the one that's speaking. Okay, good. 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, You see where we're going? Do you get the connection between your mine and your relationship to God and mine and your relationship to our brothers and sisters in Christ? And you remember there, when you come before the Lord to get things right, and you remember, or I remember, that there is something between me and my brother, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer your gift. Over in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter, look up at verse, or down, whatever it takes, verse 16. Look at what John says here. Hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know the love of God. We know the love of God through Jesus Christ laying down his life for us. He died for us. We know that God loves us. He sent his son to lay down his life for us. We know Jesus loves us because he laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Now, you ought to underline this. And this is what I believe about anything in the past in our life. There's some things that we cannot correct. There are just some things that we cannot correct. There is some things that even if we try to correct it, we might stir up a bigger problem than there was. But we can start from this point forward doing what is right. We can make a volitional decision that this is what I'm going to do. Now look at what he says in verse 16. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is a big, big statement. The Greeks had a way of describing things through their language, much more than we do. If I told you that I loved you, they would know by the word that I used what I meant by that. I love you, buddy. You remember when Jesus stood on the shore after the resurrection and the disciples had decided to go back fishing and they didn't catch anything? Of course they didn't catch anything. And Jesus is standing on the shore. Do you remember what he said to them? And if you and I could see a little deeper in the language, we'd understand that he said, "Hey, buddies, you guys caught anything?" And they knew just from the language that he was talking to them as friends. So if I told you that I loved you, you would know whether I said, "I love you, buddy." Or you would know that I loved you romantically. If I tell my wife, "I love you," I'm not calling her buddy. It's romantic love. There's a little community not very far from here named Eros. Did you know that that word means romantic love? Now, I've been to Eros. I didn't see any romance over that way. Some empty buildings. Philadelphia. was named after brotherly fellowship, brotherly love, phileo love. And then there's this, the kind of love that God has for us. And you've heard this term, agape love. That means that's sacrificial love. That's love that's God. You know, you remember the speaker a couple of weeks ago, he loved us before we loved him. He loves us in spite of what we do or are. He loves us so much. And it's unconditional love, agape love. So here John gives the example that we are to love in that kind of way, that as God laid down his life for us, that we are to lay down our life for the brethren. Now, if we isolated that little part of that verse and began to study that and break it down, find out what it meant, I'd really be doing something if I died for one of you. But you know, if I said, Wes, I'd take a bullet for you. I'm going to, instead of you die, I'll die. I'll take the bullet. That would be one thing. Now, that would be one thing. But do you know what that verse means? It means a little bit at a time. It means dying a little bit at a time for our brethren. Giving our life a bit at a time. Doing a one-time deal would be pretty easy to go. You know, if someone gave you a little plow cleaning, and it's just gonna, you'd think this is gonna be over in a little bit and we'll be through. No, this verse means a little bit at a time. You and I just keep giving our life for the brethren a bit at a time. Kind of like you don't eat a real smart hog all at one time. A little bit at a time. Love for the brethren was a demonstration. And this demonstration of being born again, it's a bit at a time. Look at Romans 5:8. I mentioned this verse already. God commendeth. The King James uses commendeth. What does that mean? It's a demonstration. A demonstration of his love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In John 13, over in the Gospel of John, John 13, and look at verse 4. John 13, verse 4. A little bit of, does us good to do a little, what is that our kids do? Bible drilling, yeah. 13:4. And he riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garment, and he took a towel, and he girded himself, This word lay down our life for our brethren is the same word that is used when it says that Jesus took his garment and he laid it to the side. You get that? He took his garment and he laid it to his side. That we lay our life, our agenda, our wishes to the side, like laying a garment to the side for the brethren. And so when you add that, when you put all that equation together, because he says that we do it a bit at a time, not just a one-time sacrifice, which would be a great gift, but when you start thinking about it a bit at a time, a bit at a time, and you lay aside your own life for the brethren, it makes a great deal of difference. We lay aside our life for the furtherance of the kingdom and for the church. Let me close with one more scripture. Philippians, Ephesians, Philippians 2, look down at verse 4. Just so you know, it's in the scripture. 2 and verse 4. Look not every man on his own things. That's just what he said. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Wow. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. John finishes up that chapter, that third chapter in 1 John, by saying that love is demonstrated in deed and action. For me to say that I love you, that's pretty cheap. Anyone can do that. Anyone can do that. You can say that. But it's demonstrated in love and action. So is this impossible? Is this an impossibility? Is this something that cannot take place in the church? That we cannot love one another? We can't take a little chewing from someone, or we can't take a little tennis shoe from someone and still love them. Well, here the scripture said a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. So, if I only beat you up with a tennis shoe one time, we hadn't done anything yet. Or if I get beat up one time, that I hadn't done anything yet. But here the scripture says the proof of our relationship with Christ is whenever it happens over and over and over. You said, now, Brother Lane, that is not a possibility. That is just not a possibility. And yet, the Lord said, you hadn't proved anything if you're doing it like the world does it. And he said that this is how the world knows that we are Christians by our love for one another. And we can hardly prove that in our own families, much less outside our own family to our church family, that we're willing to die a little bit at a time. Or to take that and to turn the other cheek and to love anyway. It's not uncommon for somebody to be mad at the pastor. When I was pastoring church in Pocahontas, outside of Pocahontas a little ways, we pastored a mission. And it was a new work and a lot of new people were coming. And I don't know what happened to Granny, but that's what everyone called her, and that's what I called her, and everybody else called her that, because she was Granny to a bunch of the people in that was in the church. So everybody called her Granny. But I don't know what I did. I don't have a slightest clue of what I did to offend Granny, but some way Granny got offended. I'm real capable of doing that and not even knowing it. But Granny got offended. And her grandson and I were good friends, and he came to me and said, "Granny's offended real bad." So this is what I did. I went to Granny and said, "You straighten up and fly right." No, I didn't. The next Sunday morning, when Granny came to church, I hugged her and said, "I love you." And I tell you, she is stiff as a board. And she kind of grunted a little bit. I don't know if it's from the hug or what. She went her way. And I just continued to do that. You know, people can't stay mad at you if you just keep doing that. And I just continued to do that and hug her and say, "Granny, I love you." I did that every service. And pretty soon, I felt Granny's arm come around my back and hug me back and say, "I love you too." And we made up without it being a great big deal. I don't have a clue. I probably knew at the time what it was, something that I said that I thought, this can't be corrected. I mean, I can't go against what the scripture says. But I could love her back into the fellowship. And folks, we need to love people back into the fellowship. We don't need to carry a chip on our shoulder. We need to just love people back into the fellowship. You see, God has given every one of us that job. It's not just my job to love people back into the fellowship. It's your job to love them back into the fellowship too. Now, I know the scripture talks about that there is some that you can't have in your fellowship. I understand that. But for the most part in the church, we're to love them back into the fellowship. Matter of fact, if I understand the scripture right, you and I are to be pursuing one another's fellowship. We're to be pursuing that. Sometimes I'll be a real smart aleck. Somebody will say something about me not coming to see them, and I'll say, "You know, that road runs two ways." Usually it's one of my brothers or sisters. Blood brothers or sisters. But it's our job to pursue that fellowship. Let's stand together.